Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. Speaking of optimizing performance, did you know the average response time for online inquiries is 47 hours? Brutal. Our AI-powered assistants respond within 9 seconds. If speed to lead is important to you, and it should be because most customers move on if you don't get back with them in 5 minutes, get your AI-powered assistant today. It takes less than 5 minutes to get set up, requires no tech skills whatsoever. To learn more about Anabots, you can go to anabots.ai. Once again, that's anabots.ai. Today's guest is Rajiv Kapoor. He is a seasoned leader and visionary, boasts a remarkable career trajectory. As director of sales and marketing at Dell China, he fueled rapid growth in the commercial market. Later as GM MD for Dell South Asia, he successfully launched Dell India and revitalized regional operations. Recognized as Manager of the Year at Dell in 1996, Rajiv also played a pivotal role in shaping the company's e-commerce endeavors. Rajiv, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
You know, that first of all, thank you for having me, and I really appreciate it. And I'm excited about that, about what you're doing at Anabot, because trust me, I hate when people don't answer the phone and respond quickly. But anyways, to answer your question, I'll tell you, I think the biggest thing here is you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. You know, I think I find too many times people feel like they have to be perfect right away. There's this issue of instant gratification, got to get it done now. No, sometimes life and things you're pursuing, it's a marathon. It's a journey. It's not a quick sprint. So don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
I love that answer, because I need to give that advice not only to my younger self, but to my current self every once in a while. Because I spent a good chunk of time, Rajiv, of my youth, waiting to start until everything was just right. And you know when it got just right?
Never.
Never. And so one day I just woke up and I'm like, whoa, I've got gray hairs. I better get started.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's, I think that's sometimes the biggest mistake people make, right? You're just waiting for the perfect situation. And sometimes you have a really good situation and just, you know, go for it. And if you make a mistake, who cares? I mean, at least you tried. I mean, it's like, no, I don't think I've ever met anybody who wakes up in the morning and says, you know what? I'm purposely going to F up my life or F up at work on purpose. Like I'm literally just going to go do it on purpose. So, you know, mistakes happen. And if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying, and you know, it's fine. Just don't focus on being perfect.
I've actually heard somebody say, hey, look, if you go out there, what's the absolute worst that can happen? You're probably not going to die. And so anything else is okay.
Yeah.
That's the idea, right? So, and I'm curious, speaking of, you know, perfect being the kind of killer of progress, you were telling me before the show about your start at Dell. Could you just quickly kind of recap your journey there through Dell as a testament to, well, I'm not going to get this perfect, but I better figure it out real fast.
Yeah, look, I mean, I started at Dell. I was at Gateway before that. So I'm a Southern California boy, born and bred. And some of you might remember.
I actually owned my very first computer in 1998 was a Gateway, believe it or not.
And listen, Gateways were really good computers. And there was a time in there when they were kicking Dell's ass for a long time. And when I got recruited to Dell back in the 93, 94 timeframe, you know, they were really doing really well. Great looking product, good pricing. I mean, they were doing really well. They were kicking Dell's butt. The reason why I got, you know, the reason why I got so involved at Dell was because after a few months of being at Dell, Michael came down to my little cube, said, hey, aren't you the Gateway guy? I go, yeah. And he said, come up, I want you to work for me. And I ended up working for him for a while. And this is living in Austin, right? So we and I just talked about that, because you're in Austin. I lived in Austin right near the Arboretum. And so I, you know, did that Dell thing for a while. And so I grew, my career grew within Dell, and eventually helped to kick off their small, medium business group, more focused on the medium business side. A group we called PAD, PAD for the Preferred Accounts Division, helped to grow that business, ran the West Coast for that for a while. And then that's when Michael said, Rajiv, I want you to go to China and help build out Dell China. Did that for a couple of years, back and forth between China and Hong Kong, and then down to Singapore, and did that for a couple of years in terms of managing all the South Asian markets. And so it was fantastic. And then, from there, became president of an e-commerce company and then CEO of an audio technology company that got sold. And now, for the last 10, 11 years, been running, 1105 Media, which is a B2B marketing, media, and technology services company.
Yeah, and the thing that I love about that is you're just a dude in a cube, and the big boss, Michael Dell, comes down and says, "Hey, I got an opportunity for you." And probably Rajiv from 25 years ago is like, "I'm not sure if I'm going to get this right, but I gotta take the risk. I might fall on my face, but the rewards are exponential."
So John, let me give you two specific examples. All right. So first was go to China. Newly married, found out, literally got the phone call to go to China in the after that morning. We found out we were pregnant with our first son, who's now 23. And that afternoon we got the call to go. And my wife is incredibly supportive, so hats off to her. And we went. And when we got there, we went for a house hunting tour. We were in Beijing. And this was hardcore, I mean, super hardcore, crush Tiananmen Square China still. Not like today, where there's a Ferrari everywhere or any restaurant, Michelin star restaurants and amazing things to do, right? This was still hardcore. The only place, the only sign of Western civilization in Beijing at the time was a TGI Fridays at the end of Embassy Row, so people who are not Chinese could have something to eat. Literally, that was the only Western civilization in Beijing, right? And so we decided to walk the Great Wall of China. Who wouldn't, right? So we did the Great Wall of China, came back, and my wife, being newly pregnant, she probably shouldn't have done that. Well, she ended up tearing her placenta a little bit, and we almost lost the baby because of that. And we had some medical problems, so we had to go to Hong Kong. She eventually came back to California, stayed here. I went back and forth a little bit, but you talk about risks and doing things and standing up doing that. So the good news is that now he's 23, so it's fine. We didn't lose the baby, so it's awesome. And but so that was an amazing thing, because imagine here you are, you've got this great career, you're going within Dell in the US, and then you have to go to China and you're trying to build teams and deploy a culture in China where no one spoke the language. I didn't speak the language, they didn't speak my language all that well. As a matter of fact, there'd be times when I'd be in meetings and people would say, "Hey, don't listen to them. We'll just do our own thing," right? And I knew that because people would translate for me later on, right? So I was trying to change China to fit Dell. And what I needed to do was really try to fit Dell, change Dell to fit China, right? So you hear the stories nowadays, right, about how movies will say,
Well, I
cut
think,
out
hold on.
bad things.
I don't want to lose the weight of that comment that you just said there. Dell was trying to change China to fit Dell, but you've discovered that we needed to change Dell to fit China. But did I say that right? There's a lesson in there that we go in looking a certain way. If I'm holding a hammer, everything I see is a nail. And that's not necessarily the best way to look at it because we're trying to make somebody else conform, but we really are usually the ones that have to be chameleons and we have to conform.
Yeah, I mean, look, ultimately the answer was always in these type of situations, the answer is somewhat in the middle. You can take the best of what's happening with the way China does business and the best of the way Dell does business and find a solution in the middle. But in order to do that, I needed to find some allies who could help me implement that. Found a couple of amazing allies who really helped me do that. And I became more of a wizard behind the curtain, so to speak, of directing things, being more of a conductor of the situation. So we did that. And look, I mean, you talk about trying new things, making mistakes, and all these things. Like, I remember when we tried to launch a local Dell branded computer, like that was everything was localized. Local Microsoft license operating systems, everything was localized for the market. And I remember that first day our forecast was to sell 1,400 computers. And we sold 14 the first day. And you know the biggest mistake we made? I mean, we thought we had every I dotted and T crossed. We literally did. You know what the biggest mistake we made?
What's that?
People in China back then didn't have credit cards.
Makes
So
sense.
we had to pivot really fast. We partnered with China Post. We did COD deliveries. And then we partnered with the banks, the Bank of China, HSBC, all these big banks, Standard Chartered. And we started putting credit card applications in the boxes of the computers people would buy. And so Dell actually became one of the reasons why credit cards started taking off in China, because we would then put credit card applications and getting people to start using credit cards in China. So small little thing. But yeah, we thought we had everything covered. We thought we were perfect. but we made a mistake, and but we got to figure it out eventually. But but it shows you how no matter how hard you plan, Murphy's Law can kick in.
And I'm curious, back to the idea of culture, and we're kind of rebuilding brands, starting with culture. And sometimes culture becomes this buzzword that loses its meaning if you're not really paying attention. And so what, first of all, what is culture, and why and when does it become important to your company's growth?
Look, I think if you got every single person you've had on this podcast and asked them what is culture, you're going to get an answer, a different answer from every single person. So
Absolutely.
that's my first comment. For me, there are five key levers of culture. It's the first is gratitude. You have to have a culture that's really based on gratitude. That's key. And I believe that. And by the way, if you look at Microsoft and you look at Satya Nadella, the CEO who took over after Ballmer, he'll tell you the thing that turned Microsoft around was gratitude. So that's number one. Number two is
Sorry,
resilience.
the thing that turned it around was what?
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Okay, thank
Right? So the second lever to pull in an organization where you want to build a great culture is make sure your teams are very resilient. They have a lot of grit, right? They can handle mistakes, they can make mistakes, that they can pivot, they can move, they can adjust, they're very nimble. That's number two. Number three, empathy. This one's really important. Now, you and I grew up in a world where if we ever had a problem, we had to go to the boss with three solutions. Remember that? Remember that world?
I
So,
still live in it. Yeah.
no, yeah, but I don't live in any. I killed that completely because I think that's the worst thing possible. If I'm the CEO, and I learned, by the way, this, I killed it during COVID because during COVID, what I learned was that A, no one had ever gone through COVID. So who am I going to call during COVID? I can't call Michael. I can't call, there's no Harvard case study for me to read. There's nobody on my board I could talk to. There's no former peer or somebody I could talk to about what to do during COVID. Nobody knew. Nobody's been through this before, right? So what I realized at that time was that if you shut people off from coming to talk to you because they have to come to you with three solutions, and by the way, I was very much like that, then they're not going to come to you. Because they just don't know what to say. Or they're going to come to you with the one they really want and two bullshit ones, right? And that's going to waste their time. So we completely kill that. And now I am more of a, hey, if you're stuck and you need to talk to me, you know what? I'm the CEO for a reason. I worked hard. Maybe I have experiences that can help dislodge a challenge that someone's facing. Maybe we just need to go for a walk. Call me. Maybe I just need to take some of my steps. We just need to have a conversation. Sometimes people just need someone to talk to, bounce ideas off of. Clarity of thought, think things through. What about this? What about that? And my job becomes listening, and I just ask a lot of what, why, and how questions, and that can help dislodge something. So that having that empathy is really important. And then finally, and then accountability and transparency, being completely transparent in what your vision and goals are for the business, and are you performing against it. Those are the five key levers. And if you look at those words, gratitude, resilience, empathy, accountability, transparency, those five.
Right.
Well, hold on, but I got some better for you. The first letter of every one of those words spells great.
That's right. Great.
And so that's what I wrote my first book on, Chase Greatness.
Yeah, I love that. I'm a little bit of an acronym junkie myself. So much so that my team is like, next every other acronym I come out with, they're like, oh, again. But it's like, it's a great kind of like mnemonic device to really remember. I was hoping that's where you were going. And
Yeah.
you didn't let me down. It was a great acronym. Hey, no pun
Hey,
intended.
there you go. No pun intended.
I love that. And so tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
Yeah. So now, look, I've been here for a little over 10 years. My 11-year anniversary is coming up. 1105 Media is it's a holding company. And within the holding company, there are five other businesses and five different P&Ls. And I have different business unit presidents who run those businesses that reported to me. And we have a shared services group. But what we do is we're a B2B marketing B2B. So we buyers with sellers in the business world. Connecting buyers with sellers. And we are B2B media and marketing technology services. So we do everything from events to lead gen to newsletter campaigns, you name it, for brands. We do it primarily in the tech space. I would say about 40% of our business is face-to-face events. So you can imagine what the business was like during COVID when you couldn't do face-to-face events. So we had lost all that business and now we're recovering from COVID. And the rest of the business is all digital marketing, digital media services. And so people come to us. So a company like Adele would come to us and say, hey, Rajiv, we have this new server product or we have this new solution. help us market our solution to more CIOs, IT administrators, data analysts, whatever the case might be. And then we get those leads and we help turn them over, and then, then we do that. So that's essentially the business today. And we cover AI, big data analytics, cloud. Those are the primary, cybersecurity. Those are the primary areas that we cover today.
Love that. And where can we go to learn more about it?
So you can go to 1105media.com. We call it 1105 Media, but go to 1105media.com. Obviously, people connect with me on LinkedIn if you like. There's quite a few Rajiv Kapoor, so make sure you find the right one. And then, as you know, I've got a couple of best-selling books, one on Chase Greatness, one I mentioned, and then AI Made Simple, which is a book I wrote about, AI for the future, basically.
Excellent. Thanks so much to Rajiv Kapoor for coming on and joining us and sharing a little bit of wisdom for how he gets stuff done. We're going to go ahead and wrap from here. For those of you who want to learn more about his business, you can go to 1105media.com. And then he has a couple of great books, no pun intended, Chase Greatness on, is that available on Amazon, Rajiv?
Yep.
All right. Excellent. Well, hey, if you're on your morning commute in the gym, somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you're looking to boost sales, cut costs, and free up your time for higher value activities, Attabots will build a custom AI assistant for your business so you can get more done in less time. You can learn more at Attabots.ai. Hey, that's it. That's it for this episode. Let's get to work.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Do Zone podcast. If you're running a service-based business that's looking to grow this year, let's talk about how we can slingshot you into momentum with a quick injection of cash and sales. Our clients typically see results in as little as 7 days. To learn more about what we do, you could go to factorone.io. Once again, that's factorone.io. We'll see you next time.